Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, and our topic is, I think, an awesome subject. It's about showing up and the power of asking for women in business. And I am delighted, someone I have known for a long, long time, our leading lady today is Robbie Motter. She is the CEO and founder of the Global Society Female Entrepreneurs, and she's also the global coordinator for the National Association of Female Entrepreneurs, or what we call NAFE. So, Robbie, say hello to all of our listeners and welcome.
Hello, Michelle. I'm so honored to be on your show because I just love what you're doing with your networks and your Sue Talks. You're amazing.
Can I say, Robbie, I learned from the best, and that would be you. I have known you, I'm going to date us just a little bit here, but I've known you over like 25 years. I mean, it's like I have watched, you know, your passion, your purpose. It's like we just celebrated 10 years for our association for women, and I'm just like, my gosh, you know, I pay homage to you, and I'm excited to talk about some of the things you're doing about business and your new 501c3 nonprofit. So I want to start with, because I know you have had this kind of mantra, it's all about showing up, for quite a few years. I would love for you to share with our listeners, like, where did that come from and what does it's all about showing up mean? Because I've heard you share it, but I want our listeners to hear about what that means.
Well, I think, to me, showing up is like a treasure map. You never know what treasure you're going to find. And the bottom line is, I think that every time I show up, I find a treasure. And I know that other people that have started thinking about that way, they go there with that in mind. Who I'm going to meet, what opportunity is going to be opening the door for me, or maybe people I know. And it's amazing how that happens. And the other part of it is, women have a really tough time of asking for what it is they want and need. And, you know, it gets easier. It was very hard for me in the beginning because, you know, I'm like you, Michelle. I'm a person that loves to give and give. And then one day somebody said to me, Robbie, why don't you ever ask for anything? And they said, you know, don't you get a lot of pleasure of helping others? And I said, I absolutely do. And they said, well, why don't you let us have that same pleasure? So when you think of it in that vein, it makes it easier to ask.
You just inspired me today on that one, because that seems to be one central common denominator with women. And I'm, you know, I know there's two pieces. It's all about the showing up, which I love that analogy, because you just, you know, there are so many times when we as women, we're so busy. We have so much going on. It's like we have all the burden, all the responsibility. And yet your whole take is just show up. You never know where opportunity is going to come. Is that right?
Absolutely. Let me just share something that happened to me yesterday. I showed up at a conference at Pachanga, and they had some fabulous speakers, and one of them just blew the socks off of, we had six NAFE girls there, and they just, she was amazing. And I immediately said in my mind, I'm going to go find her, and I'm going to ask her if she will be one of my keynote speakers next April for a conference I'm doing in Hollywood. So I did. I said, would you do this? We can't pay you, but we'll give you a lot of PR. She said, I would be honored to do that.
Oh, that's, you know, but I think this is what I love that analogy. I mean, that story is awesome. You know, you and I both interact with women all day long, every day. And one of the things I always hear from women is that I'd like to ask, but I don't know how to ask. I mean, what would be some tips you would give for some of our listeners about just how to kind of get your thoughts focused and so you know, you could feel a little more comfortable about the asking? Any tips on that for some of our listeners?
I think first you have to figure out what it is you need and want. It could be, and maybe not even for you, maybe somebody in your organization just said, oh, you know, I'm looking for a position, and this is, so as you're meeting people, you can say, by the way, do you know anyone that is looking for somebody with these skills? I happen to know someone that's looking for a position. Or a good example, one of the girls that I know from L.A., went on sick leave to have a back surgery, and her company fired her. So she immediately called me and said, who do you know? Robbie, you know everybody. Do you know a lawyer that might be interested? And I said, I absolutely know someone that is amazing that takes cases like that. So I was able to connect her immediately. So when
keep going. I was interrupting you. Sorry.
No, when you know exactly what you want, then it makes it easier to ask for it. You know,
yeah.
You and I've been to where people stand up and say, oh, my customer is anyone. Your customer isn't anyone. You really need to sit down and say, who is your real customer? Where are they showing up? And the other thing I think is really important, if you belong to an organization, you need to have that organization's meeting dates in your calendar for every time they meet, because you need to be committed.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I know you've been with, you know, supporting women for a lot of years, and you have a fabulous story as to why, you know, why you are so dedicated and committed to working with women and supporting them and being an advocate. I'm going to come back to that in a second. But, you know, with this asking, why do you think so many women have such a hard time with asking? What's your take on that for your wise years of experience in working with women?
Well, I think they're afraid that people will look at them differently, or they're the fear of rejection when somebody says no.
Mm-hmm.
But my theory, if somebody says no, you ask somebody else. It's as simple as that. That's what
and
I
you
do.
Keep asking, right?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Keep asking. And eventually you get to the
exactly.
right person.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for our listeners, because I think this is a phenomenal story. I've heard this, you know, you do this on occasion, but I heard it, you know, with such heartfelt sincerity at a conference a few years ago of why, you know, you made the decision leaving corporate America or the government sector, and you said, I'm going to support women entrepreneurs. Can you, just for our listeners, share your story? Because I think this really gets a sense of who you are and why you roll the way you do, which is so awesome for women entrepreneurs. Can you share that story?
Well, I spent 25 years in corporate America in very high positions in Washington and New York and Texas and Hawaii. And what I found is women were not supporting women at all. And I just made a pact that whatever I learned, I would spend the rest of my life helping women soar to great heights. In fact, yesterday one of the speakers said, you must, in order to be a success, you must put yourself in uncomfortable positions, because then you know you're moving forward.
Wow, that's powerful. if I'm uncomfortable every day, is that a good thing?
Yeah, because it means what it means is you're kind of thinking you're in scary territory, but you're really not, because you're touching your feet and you're moving out and you're expanding. And you're opening your arms to take on more things and look at things so differently. And it is scary.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to ask people along the way, because they can open the doors for you to get where you want to go much faster.
I love that. I love that. And I know you've been with NAFI a long time, and these are great, you know, kind of pieces of you. And you won our Champion of Women Award with Connected Women of Influence and the Women of Influence Awards earlier this year. Well deserved. Congratulations on that, among many awards that you've won over the year. But I know your work for a long time has been with NAFI. Can you just, for our listeners, share a little bit about what NAFI is all about, and, you know, what's new and different with that's going on with NAFI right now? And then we'll talk to you about your nonprofit.
Well, NAFI has been serving women for about 48 years. They're located in New York, and they are they don't have any networks of their own. They have what they call affiliate networks. And I'm the global coordinator for NAFI, which I do as a volunteer. And I oversee all the NAFI networks across the country and make sure that the women can call. Women call me at all hours of the days and nights, and whenever they come in, I take them because I feel like it's important, needs to be handled right then and there. And I try to be an advocate for them. And sometimes it's just answering a question. Sometimes it's they need to connect with someone. A lot of calls I get are about insurance. Just naturally, we don't have it anymore, but because some of the insurance rates for some of these younger women have just skyrocketed. So, you know, it's whatever I can do to open the door and let them know that we're there to support them. I actually flew out to Indiana last year and spoke at their conference and also to Texas. And I got to meet all those NAFI girls, and it was wonderful. I mean, I just love, they're like, I call them my NAFI sisters. I never had any sisters, so all my NAFI members are my sisters.
Well, for you, what is the future for you with NAFI? Because I know you're the Western Region District, I got to make sure I get this right. The global coordinator, is that a new role for you, or used to be the Western
so
District
I've been,
something?
I've been the global coordinator for a couple years, and that means that I oversee all the networks globally for NAFI in every state.
And, you know, you've run women's groups, you've been part of NAFI for a long time, you have your new 501c3 that you're starting. It's like, what, you know, Robbie, for a lot of our listeners that maybe are thinking, gosh, should I get involved with the women's group, any women's group, what women's groups, what would be some advice you might share as far as, like, how to find the right group, how to find the right tribe, and, you know, what do they need to do to find value out of those groups? Because I know you have a lot of opinions on that.
I do. I think basically you really got to find out what it is that you do and ask some of your customers, where are they showing up? And actually study the groups that you want to visit. What are those groups doing for their members? What can it mean for you? Sometimes you just join a group for friendship, just to build, especially if you're new in an area, it's a great way to get to meet people. But sometimes you want to join a group to find mentors and peers that can help you move up the ladder. And it was funny because one of the girls that was speakers yesterday, she said, always find a mentor younger than you. And I thought, oh, my God, I made it too. That means all these people I'm mentoring are not going to come to me because there's nobody younger than, you know. But she laughed. But it's true. You can have many mentors. Each one could, like right now, mentors that I look at, for me, are mentors that can teach me more about this social media and all this stuff that's happening. Because I want to be, I want to be keen about it. And I don't know anything, so I need to find the experts. And they are younger women that know how to do everything. So that makes sense to me. But I think, and then when you do find that group, you don't have to take on big jobs, but do little things. Because that's the way for you to get, you know, if they do an event, see if you can work a table or be there to greet people or something. It's a great way to meet a lot of people and get yourself known and build your brand.
Well, you know, so many, I hear this all the time now, and I'm curious your thoughts on it is, you know, I think networking has changed so much, you know, since when I started, which was in the early 90s. And, you know, I meet women all the time that go, or I'm seeing a big trend that it's like people will go, well, my target market is not here at this event. And I know you hear that a lot. And what would be your advice where it's not always the value of your direct target market that happens through networking? There's other value and other benefits that can come from that. What would be your two cents on that? And I know you have many.
Well, one of the things I say that everybody in a room knows at least 200 people. So maybe that person isn't your target market, but you don't know all the people that they know. So the bottom line is remember, it's not always what's in it for me. It's how can we together help each other achieve greater success or greater, you know, opportunities. And that's what they have to look at. And sometimes, yes, there's many times you meet somebody and they don't have what you want and you don't have what they want. But once they get to know what kind of person you are and your integrity and things, they're going to have friends that need exactly what you want. So that's the wrong attitude to take that, oh, this doesn't, you know, because they're coming there. It's sort of like they're coming there to get the cards and hoping to get immediate sales or whatever. That doesn't happen. Today's world is all about building relationships and helping each other.
And, you know, how do you, you know, when you're networking, how do you weed out the givers from the ones who, you know, there's this whole kind of analogy I hear people say that they're kind of fried with networking, that it's only about exchanging business cards and, you know, people then soliciting on LinkedIn. I'm just curious your thoughts. I mean, if you, you know, how would you suggest people go about, like, you know, to kind of reach out and build a relationship and start that relationship? Because I think people are even confused on that today a little bit.
Well, it's not really about getting the business card. It's about learning about that person. What do they like to do? If they have children, what are their ages? What kind of things do their children do? Where do they go to school? What other groups do the school belong to? You can learn a lot. And then as you're finding things, it helps you to find things more to refer them to. You know, men have been really good. Like, a guy goes into the locker room, he says, "Oh, where do you get your hair cut?" Women don't do that. I mean, they don't ask or look for referrals. So, again, it's up to the person to say, you know, I'm looking for someone that could do this. Or, like, a good example was that girl calling. She said, "Robbie, I need an attorney that specializes in business law." And I said, "I absolutely know someone. Just come and say I need an attorney." She was very clear about what she was looking for.
Yeah, no, those are good examples. Those are great examples. You know, I want to shift over because I know you've got something new that you have formed, and I know there's a big mission and a purpose around that. But tell us the kind of inspiration here for the Global Society. Is it Global Society of Female Entrepreneurs or Global Society Female Entrepreneurs?
For female entrepreneurs. But we have
cool. Tell us about it. What's the big?
Well, the reason.
Yeah. What was the inspiration here for this?
Well, the reason I started a 501c3 was because for many years, NAFI was a foundation, and for some reason, they dropped their foundation. So I've been doing NAFI conferences for about 18 years, and it was getting harder to get grant money, and it was getting harder to get in-kind donations because everything is online now. You go online, and they actually match the EIN number to make sure you are a bona fide 501c3. So by forming that, and we're forming it that everything, the mission of Global Society is to help women grow personally and professionally by providing education and training to them and mentors. So basically we don't have any, we're set up that we could have membership, but right now NAFI, we have 15 NAFI networks that I've built in Southern California. So we have the NAFI networks where people can go for meetings, but the global part of it is come to conferences, learn, let us know what you want to learn. Let's connect you with mentors. Let's do the conference. And it's been so much easier this year for me to get grant money, to go online and put in our mission and get money to do events, because it's going more
Very
and more
cool.
in that direction. And even to get in-kind stuff or opportunity drawings, they're making you go online anymore. Disney has a new thing that you have to go through another, and then you have to send them your plan, and then they approve you, and you go to second part, and then maybe if you get to the third part, you get Disney tickets. It's not as easy as it used to be.
Wow. I didn't know that. I mean, so for this, it's like you're going to do all over, I mean, you say global, you know, totally nationwide, going to go everywhere and do conferences and events?
We could, but right now I'm concentrating on three parts. I have one coming up October. We did a training in L.A. When we first formed the L.A. Airport, Sheraton Airport, and it was great. And then we're going to do the conference in Marietta in October, and we're going to do another conference next April in Hollywood, and then we're looking at something in Orange County. But it'll be only those kind of things, and we're trying to use a lot of our members to be speakers. We'll probably, you know, bring in people that are keynotes that maybe aren't members, but for table topics and things like that, we are using our members. So that's an opportunity for them from NAFI to be associated with the Global Society.
Very cool. And for you right now, it's like the goal then for the Global Society, it's like, do you find that there is a difference in attitudes about, let's say, networking in Southern California versus outside of Southern California?
Oh, yeah.
That there's a difference. Yeah? What could give us a little once over? So we've got listeners
in the well, when I lived in the East, people, if they belonged to an organization, had it in their calendar, and every month they were there. No question.
Mm-hmm.
In California, I think people get up and say, I wonder what's happening this better today. Or, I don't want to drive in the traffic. Or, you know, maybe I'm too tired. You know, and I didn't see that back East. And I still, when I went to Indiana or when I went to speak in San Antonio, Texas, I didn't see it there either.
Is it more committed, or they just lock them down in their calendar? Like, what's the mind shift? You hit the nail on the head for California, but.
Well, maybe they're more committed because there isn't as much to do. You know, there's no beaches and things like that. But, it's amazing for me how many people say, oh, I can't drive to Orange County, or I can't drive here. I drive to Santa Barbara once a month and run a night meeting and drive all the way back. Menifee.
Wow. What, you know, I'm going to say this because I know you're very public about, you know, your wise years, your youngness, I'm going to put it that way. It's like, what do you feel, you know, that I guess is, you know, the two key things that have been your secret to success over the years? I mean, I know you're a relationship builder. I know you're a giver. Outside of that, you know, what else has really been kind of your secret to your success? I know you have many.
Well, I think a lot of it, Michelle, is where I came from. You know, I grew up in foster homes and children's homes, and I was on my own at 14. And I always felt that it was up to me. See, I believe no matter where you come from or what you've faced, whether it's a divorce or anything, where you're going is totally up to you. So for me, it's always been, where am I going forward? Not where I've been, nor do I care where I've been. I'm always about, where am I going? And the other thing I've learned is that being 82, sometimes I forget I'm a senior, that we, at our age, my age, we must associate with all ages. We cannot just hang out with seniors. A lot of them are, you know, a lot of them have said I'm retired, and they are retired. But I don't ever want to retire. I'm going to be running a meeting and drop, and they know what to do, who to call, and then the party starts. But I think you have to do your passion. So many people have jobs they hate. They have to get out of that and find their passion, even if they have to start their passion on a part-time basis so they can bring it full-time. I mean, I had that situation. I had a job in D.C. I was making tons of money, but I hated it. And I would go home with pains, and I said, I just got to get out of here. And I know today if I hadn't left, I'd probably be dead. Because if you don't do what you love, it's a chore to get up every day. I get up, sometimes I'm up all night working because I love what I'm doing.
And you can hear it in your voice. And for anybody that doesn't know you, my gosh, you live, eat, and breathe what you talk about here. And I think that's why I respect you so much. So know that. You know, I want our listeners to know if they want to find you, we'd love for them to reach out. How would you like them to contact you, Robbie? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, you know, it depends on what their age. If they like to text, they can text me at 951-255-9200. I'm on Facebook and I'm on LinkedIn as Robbie Motter. I'm on Twitter as Networking Queen. my website is robbiemotter.com and the WR NAFI is our NAFI site. If you just Google me, I'm on about 11 pages of Google, so you'll always find me.
So we just want to make sure we spell Robbie. We're going to have a link to your site as well, but it's Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, and then Motter. Like Potter, Motter. So I know our listeners, if they're, hopefully you've inspired some of them to be part of your 501c3. It's like, what, you know, what would you like people to do to know about the 501c3? Come to the event, reach out to you, you know, what can our listeners do to support you?
I will send them a flyer of our conference coming up and, you know, I'll be happy to talk to them or I'm happy to talk to anyone if they have something they, you know, sometimes it's great to just throw an idea out to someone and see what they think and get, you know, I always say we're like the market research team. We're always available to, you know, say what we think. It's just another person's opinion.
I love that. I know for you, it's like, you know, I mean, I'm going to hopefully say this in the best way I can, but it's like when you think about the future, you know, and let's just say the next, you know, 12 to 18 months, like wave your magic wand for me and tell me what's happening in your world and business in the next 12 to 18 months if you have your preferences.
Well, I want to do more Comfort, the global. I want to do more training. I want to build more napping networks. And I want to make more people taking over the running of those networks so I don't have to run them all. I'm running 5 myself right now. I was running more, but I'm finding more people that are willing to step into the roles. I just want to be there to help until I can't do it anymore, to help women understand that where they're going is entirely up to them, and to surround themselves with positive people, to show up and to act. It's as simple as that.
I love that. I get goosebumps when you say that, you know, and if you, you know, had to say to women, it's like, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do more of besides ask and showing up. What other advice would you give some of our amazing women that are part of our listening audience?
Well, I think they really have to sit down and really sit down, really take a piece of paper and say, what makes them happy? What are they doing in their business that makes them the happiest? What don't they like?
Mm-hmm.
Really take a full look at who are they and where do they want to go? And then have a vision board. Vision boards are amazing.
Do you do one every year?
I do one, and I do training for all my girls, and we do them, and everything. It's amazing how they've come back to me and said, in fact, I'll share a story when we have lunch. You remember little Anika that you gave the award to?
Yes, I absolutely do, because of you.
One of her missions was she wanted to meet Oprah. She's going to be in Oprah magazine in October.
Oh, my God. Are you saying, wow. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. That is awesome.
And she won.
Sorry, but you and I are having a moment. We know this lovely young, and now she's probably 14, and she started her own nonprofit. She's an entrepreneur. I mean, this girl was 13 going on 25 in my book, and I have never been so impressed with a 13-year-old in my entire life. I just want our listeners to know the context, and now she's going to be on Oprah.
And guess what? She's going to be in Oprah magazine, the youngest person to ever be in Oprah magazine. The other thing, she won the top 100 women to watch in Orange County last year at 14. She's now 15.
Oh, my gosh. Has it been that long? Holy moly. Holy moly, holy moly. I love that. You know, I know you are such a giver. Here's my final question to you because we're almost out of time, but I really want you to give a little thought to this. I never heard you say this, but who, you know, of all the help you've done for other people, as you've kind of evolved with what you do, who has been your best mentor, and how did you benefit from a mentorship by somebody? Like, do you have one person that comes to mind, or many?
Yeah, Henry J. Kaiser. When I was 21, I was very shy, and I worked at the Hawaiian Village in Honolulu, and he actually owned it at the time. And that was when they were building the Around the World Dome for Liz Taylor and Mike Todd. And I would always get stuck in the elevator with him, ready to drop to the floor. And I remember he would say to me, because he had these engineers to build this Around the World Dome, and they kept telling me it couldn't be done. And he would look at me and say, Robbie, remember, there is nothing in this world that cannot be done. And then he also said something else to me another time that stood with me all my life, even when I was raising my kids alone and working 3 and 4 jobs. He said, life is like a main highway. Sometimes you get off on the side road when things aren't going right. But if you, in your mind you put, oh, my God, I'm on the side road again, automatically it's almost like the car turns and you're back on the main highway again. And it worked for me so many times. And then
when I went
to New York, there was another gentleman that was a mentor to me. And I've had, you know, whenever I need to learn something, I call somebody I know that's an expert. And they're willing. In fact, yesterday, one of my friends, because she's been taking things, she walked up to this gal that I want you to meet. And she said, would you be my mentor? And the gal said, I would love you. I would be happy to do that.
And again, she asked, right? She asked.
She asked.
I think those are powerful. I think those are some pretty positive notes. Any final thing you want to share with our listening audience? Because it is all about showing up and the power of asking. But what's one final inspirational thought or something to leave us with?
Well, I have to tell you, when I met that woman that I just needed to meet, I said, "When soon as I can, I'm introducing you to a fabulous woman you need to meet, Michelle Berquist." She said, "Great, I would love to meet her."
Well, then we're going to have a side note on that. And you are amazing and wonderful and stupendous, Robbie. And I've always admired you, and I admire you more now. And thank you for being our leading lady. And you and I are going to connect here on another level to our listeners. We love your loyalty. We are here every Friday afternoon at 2 and Mondays at 9 a.m., except for Monday, this Monday, which is Labor Day. So I hope all of you have a lovely long weekend. And my challenge to each one of us as women is, what are you doing to empower and support other women? We'll see you on the next Women Lead Radio Show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.